The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
The shocking death of former Conservative Cabinet Minister, broadcaster and Reform UK figure Anne Widdecombe has sent shockwaves through British politics, with police treating her death as murder while stressing there is no evidence of a terrorist or political motive. The case has also renewed concerns about the safety of public figures after a decade that has seen a number of British politicians targeted by violence. Joining us now with the latest is George Parker, Financial Times political editor in London. George, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, what do we know about the circumstances of her death?
Well, she was living alone in a house on the edge of Dartmoor, which is one of the last remaining wilderness in southern England, so quite a remote area. She was found dead with serious injuries. When the news of her death was initially put out, there was just a general sort of sense of sadness that she died. And then during the course of Friday, it became clear this was not just a normal death at home, but an incident that the police were treating as murder. They picked up a 26-year-old white male, arrested him, but he has now been released and is no longer part of the investigation. So the investigation continues. But as you say, with the circumstances and the motive behind what happened, this terrible incident, still unknown.
Now, they said they don't believe there's a political or terrorist motive involved here. How can they be so sure of that so early in the investigation?
Well, it's a very interesting question, because the person they obviously had initially identified as being the prime suspect has now been released. So there's been no update from the police to change their initial assessment that there wasn't a political or a terrorist motive. That's certainly the view that's been taken by people in the heart of government as well. They're obviously working hand in glove with the police on this, because obviously if there were to be a political motive, and you mentioned in your introduction there, then there's numerous attacks on British politicians and indeed murders of two politicians in the last few years, that would take it to a different level entirely. But at the moment, as I said, that is not the premise of the police investigation.
Now, without naming the individual who's been arrested, released, and therefore completely vindicated, one presumes, what do we know of the nature of that inquiry that led them to this individual? Do you know what the speculation is about the police motive in arresting this man?
Not really, no. They haven't said a great deal about this. It's the man was, they said that right at the outset they were looking for a white male, and they picked him up in a place called Newton Abbot, which is about 10 miles away from where Anne Widdecombe lived, so quite nearby. So they made some very quick progress, or at least they thought they were making quick progress. But the news came out today that he's now been released. And they say that the investigation is moving ahead at speed, which you obviously would expect. There are uniformed officers in place around the village of Haytor, which is, as I mentioned, is in Devon on the edge of Dartmoor as well. So for extra security in the area.
Now, the news was received with, as you said at the beginning, you know, sadness. People thought she lived to a good age. She passed on maybe ill or whatever. Then it turns out that she was assaulted and effectively murdered. What has been the reaction, given that she was admired on certainly on one side, but deeply controversial in so many ways?
Yeah, she was. I mean, her initial public persona was this stern, formidable conservative politician with very right-wing views on things like immigration, on social issues. She was opposed to abortion. She thought that one day there might be a treatment for being gay, for example. So someone who had very, very, by British standards, socially conservative views. And then, interestingly, she sort of reinvented herself from being this formidable stern aunt figure to a sort of almost a national treasure because of her participation in Strictly Come Dancing, where I think one of the judges compared her to a Dalek in drag. But she showed she was game for a laugh. She was a terrible dancer, but she formed this great relationship with her partner, Anton de Beck. And from that, it sort of was a springboard to having a sort of a broader media career. So she presented things like, "Have I Got News for You?" She could see that she could laugh at herself. Mm. Though, as you say, there will be some people who found her views very retrograde or insulting or whatever.
Now, what questions does this raise about the personal security of individuals? The person most in the news about his personal security, of course, is Nigel Farage. Will this give him some, I suppose, support to his view that he is under threat?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Now, you can't possibly give protections at every single competition, past and present, in the country. I mean, that's absurd. But I mean, Nigel Farage, it is true. I don't think anyone would contest Nigel Farage's claim that he is the most targeted and vilified and threatened politician in Britain. He has a permanent security presence with him at all times. But he's not so far suggested that there's a link between the security he needs and what happened in the tragic case of Anne Widdecombe. I think partly because the police haven't made that connection either.
Now, what will happen going forward, the criminal investigation will proceed, perhaps there'll be an arrest. But the political conversation generally in Britain, maybe the likelihood that people who might have run for politics will not. I remember at the time of the Joe Cox killing that I thought David Cameron should have suspended the whole Brexit thing since debate was at fever pitch. But he didn't do that. And of course, the rest is history. Britain left the EU. So what impact do you think this death will have on the political conversation?
Well, I think a lot depends really on how the police investigation develops over the coming days and whether this is indeed linked to any sort of political motive. You know, it may well be that it has negligible impact on the British political debate, but if it turns out to have been an intruder, a burglary, a robbery, or whatever, with these terrible consequences. So there may not be broader conclusions to be drawn. But you are right. I mean, that the atmosphere around British politics has been Brexit sort of was the poison, I think, which was injected into the system. Actually, to be honest, it had started a couple of years earlier with the Scottish independence referendum. I think anyone who had taken part in that referendum would have seen the amount of vitriol and threats that were around. So it's been a feature of British politics now for the best part of probably 10 or 15 years. You know, everyone just needs to take a deep breath. Social media has made things worse. Does it deter good people from coming into politics? Yes, definitely. Does it deter women in particular from coming into politics? Yes, I say that's definitely the case. So, yeah, it's bad for the body politic generally, but let's wait and see how this investigation pans out.
George Parker, Financial Times political editor, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.